On the line now, I have Dr. Lorraine Darcy. Hello, Dr. Darcy, how are you?
Hello, I'm well, thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to talk about this, what's coming up. It's a conference to promote safe, sustainable and livable communities. You know, walking, people seem to be into more and all this sort of thing there, but there's so many connotations attached to this. So can you tell us what the conference is going to be about?
Of course, yes. So it's the Walk 21 International Conference, which is kind of walking into the 21st century. And it's an interdisciplinary conference. It's not your typical academic conference or what we're used to. It's much more about mixing academics with practitioners, with politicians, with grassroots advocacy groups. And it's to do with everything to do with walking. So, and it's really about the delivery and how do we deliver walkable, livable communities. And one of the interesting things I find as a walking researcher is that sometimes people, you know, differentiate between what they see as a walker and a pedestrian. So they kind of say, well, look, pedestrians, it's all about the cityscapes and the streets. And, mm-hmm. You know, and then they can treat walking for recreation as being something completely different, that you have to drive somewhere to go for a walk. Whereas we think that neighborhoods should encompass both. You know, you should be able to go for a walk in your neighborhood, a safe, a social walk, meet your neighbors, sit down, have a coffee, and have a nice, aesthetically pleasing place. So a nice, pretty place to be. And there is a recreational walk, so a park or a seafront or along a river, close enough to where you live as well. So there are communities, like when we talk about livable communities, it's that we can access everything we need within a 10-minute walk of our home or to a good public transport stop, or a public transport stop that can take us into other areas and everywhere we need to go.
Okay, from what I was saying there, the connotations attached to it, what seems to be there, that change the perception of people's idea of walking? You say there's, okay, maybe there's a difference between pedestrian and a walker, and maybe people don't appreciate their environment around them, they don't see it as a walking area. Is that what you mean about changing that perception?
Yes, because often it's actually one of the things that we kind of get a lot of feedback around during the lockdowns and the pandemic. People became much more aware of what was on their doorstep. When you were limited to walking just within 2 kilometres and 5 kilometres of your home, people discovered that, oh, there was a nice little walk there where there was a shortcut that they mightn't have known about. And particularly if they kind of moved to the area while they were still commuting to a job somewhere else and they weren't spending their day in their neighbourhood. And we've often found this, that when people retire or when mothers go on maternity leave or young parents are out walking, pushing a buggy, they kind of discover more about their neighbourhoods and, you know, they discover local shops that they mightn't have been as familiar with. So it's an engagement with the locality. But also that the perceptions around walking, that it is, again, coming back to that, if you're used to going out your door, sitting in your car and driving everywhere, you might not realise how close some things are to you or how they could be actually easier to get to on foot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes that we... Yes, that's really the crux of it when it comes to, it's kind of making us more aware of how walking can be a really feasible way of getting around, how sometimes we don't give enough priority to pedestrians. And, you know, when we design traffic lights, because my background, I'm a civil engineer as well as an exercise and environmental psychologist, that as a civil engineer, that, you know, we've been focused on the movement of cars through junctions. The traffic lights are sequined in a way to optimize car movement. And sometimes to the detriment of the pedestrian who's left waiting for the full cycle, you know, of lights before they get to cross the road. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that might stop older people walking or younger people walking. Trips that would have been very simple for them to do previously.
Okay, so that's where the government will come in at this conference as well, for them to change, because there's really been no research on any of this at all, has there?
So there has been, so my own PhD work was in walking and walkability, but we don't have a necessarily well-connected network of walking researchers. So there's been quite a bit of walking research done around active travel to school or with older age groups, and Get Ireland Walking are a great initiative that have been doing a lot of evaluation work. But we don't always you know, promote it in a really, really well. It's kind of often an add-on. We, you know, conversations can be dominated by car movements or cyclists when walking kind of gets forgotten about, but it's actually everybody walks. And when we talk about walking, we're talking about walk, run, push and roll is what we say. Mm-hmm. So whether you're in a wheelchair, you're pushing a buggy, where you're walking aid, that we consider this walking. It's the using of the footpaths. It's the but putting that back up on the agenda, because theoretically, we're at the top of the hierarchy in street design, believe it or not. Walkers are meant to come first.
That makes a change.
Yeah. And that's been in place for a while, but it doesn't always get translated into practice. And okay. We want to bring a focus back to that. And just in relation to government, what's been really exciting about this and quite novel in the history of this this conference series, which has travelled all over the world, is that we have national government funding it, but it's the Departments of Transport, Department of Health, and the Transport of our Department of Sport, which are within Media, Gaeltacht, Rural Affairs. So that they are the three core funders for this event, which is really brilliant to kind of get a more integrated approach to the promotion of walking.
I was just thinking as well, I was talking about the perception of people in walking, because there's pleasure to yourself. You just go out for a stroll or a walk, and then people in the back of their mind, they do it only for health reasons, which is always great anyway. And then people who commute to work, say, and they say, well, okay, I'm going to not use the bike, I'm not going to use public transport, it's not that far, so I'll walk. So there's, as I said, a few connotations attached to it. Is these things that's going to be talked about at the conference, and what sort of way can the structure of, say, we're at the top at the moment, but can it be changed even more to help out?
No, we definitely can. And like understanding the barriers to why people don't walk. And look, safety is a really important one, whether that is personal safety from a fear of crime, or whether, and that often is a perception of that. We find that even in areas that people would, like if they're not familiar with the area, consider a rough area, would never walk there. What we find is when we survey the people in those areas, they're quite comfortable because they know the people and they feel safe and comfortable. There might be areas they might still avoid, but a familiarity is an important part of that, and the sense of community. Mm-hmm. And but then people are also, they also fear for their safety in areas where there aren't adequate footpaths, where footpaths are too narrow, where footpaths are being blocked with cars parked on the footpaths and people have to walk out onto the road to go around them, where there isn't adequate places to cross. And like that's quite important that we start to put a refocus on what do we need in our communities for people to go out and walk and be safe. And an anecdote that I constantly use is I grew up in really rural Ireland, couldn't get more rural than where I'm from. And one of our neighbours, and when her husband died, he was a farmer, and she decided she'd move to a town to live with her sister. And I was chatting to her a few months after she moved, and I was like, well, how are you finding it? And she goes, it's really funny. She goes, I go to Mass every day, and every day when I'm walking to Mass, people pull up and offer me a lift. And she said, but she goes, they don't understand that. She goes, I'm doing that to go for my walk. I get my walk in while I'm going to Mass. And she goes, and they're all out walking every evening while I'm at home watching Carnation Street nice and cozy at home, you know.
Yes, yeah.
That kind of disconnect. But walking is really important for many reasons. And for our physical health, we know that so the WHO, so Lancet publication, so this is like one of the best, highest ranking journals in the world, did a study a number of years ago, a global study, and they estimated that 11% of all cause premature mortality in Ireland is due to physical inactivity. So basically 11% of all premature deaths in Ireland is linked to not being physically active enough. And the Irish physical activity guidelines for adults is just 30 minutes a day, 4 days a week, 5 days a week. So that's a 20-minute walk, let's say, or 30-minute walk. So 50 minutes each way to somewhere, 5 days a week. That's all we need to get to our physical activity guidelines. And for children, that's an hour a day, every day of the week. So combine all their physical activity. We know that people who live in more walkable areas, so that's the more livable neighbourhoods, have there's a later onset of dementia amongst the populations for up to 8 years was found in a study in Canada. So wow. The delayed And people are happier. So loneliness is another determinant of health, or like our determinant of premature mortality. And people who live in more walkable neighbourhoods know more of their neighbours. And there's a strong correlation between how heavy traffic is in the neighbourhood and the number of people people know in their neighbourhood. Another story I tell is where I live. There was a lady up the road from us, and every evening she used to walk out to her gate, no matter what the weather. She used to walk out to her gate around 6 o'clock to meet people and say hi to people that were coming off the bus. So we stopped to chat to her one day, and she was like, no, she goes, it's the one time of the day I get to meet people, because she was confined to her home. But when she walked out to the gate, she met people and she interacted with people. So we're much more likely, when walking is a normal thing in our neighbourhood, to meet more people. And this has been observed now in some of our newer suburbs, where people drive door to door to work, drive home, go into their house, get into the car again to go out and exercise, come back, and they don't walk around their neighbourhoods and they're gone all day. There's less of what we call social cohesion. Mm-hmm. And when that's lower, people are less likely to vote, they're less likely to be involved in neighbourhood groups, and they're more lonely and not as happy, and that impacts on their mental health.
Okay, so suppose, like, as I say, with the conference there as well, the structures will have to change. You're talking about rural Ireland now. Where we are here in Dublin, mm-hmm. it could hardly be labelled as rural, but some of the roads just outside the immediate area seems like a rural island, and when they've built up around the places, these big huge blocks of apartments and houses which are coming up all over the place, and some of the roads they forget to put in footpaths, which is crazy. So will this is this what's going to be aimed at the government, to put a little more thought in it, what way they instruct people and when they're given permission for these places to be built, to say, well, make sure you do it right?
Yeah, it's definitely part of the conversation. And, you know, we've seen a massive investment in the last kind of 2 years now, which is very welcome. Us in the walking fraternity are delighted with the massive investment that's been put into walking and cycling infrastructure. And these are the things that we need to do, is make sure that housing developments are connected in to towns, town centres, village centres, you know, the local hubs, to the schools. And, you know, to no fault of their own, like, when developers were, some of them depending on the local authority, had to pay to get footpaths put in, but sometimes that wasn't followed up. Sometimes that wasn't a condition of planning. Sometimes the money had to get redirected elsewhere. And, you know, it's not just housing. It's also when new schools are built. You know, there's been a movement recently now to, you know, move schools out into more rural, to the rural fringes of towns, where it's much more difficult for people living in those towns and villages to get to school without having to drive. And, you know, we also know that some of those planning decisions, like the impact on, so households then have to sometimes, you know, buy a car where they previously didn't have a car in order to get children to school and get to work because of those planning decisions, and where footpaths weren't considered, or permeability, as we call it, even gaps, like, to connect into this. So we need to have better joined up thinking in how we go forward, and making sure again that it all is considered. Yeah,
that's what the conference is going to be all about, because as well as everything else about health for people and doing yourself well, it's good for the environment as well if less cars are used on the road all the time. Who's going to be at the conference, and will the public be allowed to go, and that, because it's by the Technological University of Dublin, they're the host.
So I'll tell you more about that in a second, just to also say that this is also about recreational walking. So we have amazing walking routes and trails all over Ireland, and they're going to be well represented, and there's a number of initiatives that have been running for the last while with the Men Sheds, for example. Our Mental Health Ireland have been having a really fantastic Woodlands for Health program, where they've been doing interventions with people with poor mental health and walking in nature, and, you know, incredible results coming out of it. One particular group, I know that there was over 60-70% reduction in suicidal ideation for these people that they experienced extreme mental health issues, that were bringing them out and walking in nature. So there's going to be that element to the conference as well.
Okay.
So for people to attend the conference, it's going to be a hybrid conference, meaning that it's going to be online as well as in-person events. there's going to be a number of workshops happening all over the country because it's a Walk 21 Ireland. We have a national focus this time around. So quite a number of the events are going to be held in TU Dublin on our three campuses in Dublin. But also people can log on online. And so if you go on to walk21.com, you can see links as to sign up for the newsletter, which will have more detail. And people will be coming from all over the world, as well as from all over Ireland, and everyone is welcome.
Is this the first conference of its kind then?
It's the 22nd. It's the first time it's come to Ireland.
Okay.
And it's the first time that it has been sponsored by national government and held in an academic institution. So I've been to a number of them around the world where it's been the mayor of a big city, for example, or it's just been a university and they've had an academic focus, or other places. It is, you know, they've different focuses in different places. But this time it is the national focus. It's the interdisciplinarity of everything, and the national funding, which is quite novel.
Okay, so the things have changed, let's say, over the 22 years since it's been all over the world, and obviously it's gainful for people as well. So it's great to see you coming to Ireland for a change, isn't it?
Yes, no, for definite. And as I said, we've had, there's a great interest in Ireland. We have a lot of grassroots organisations, a lot of walking groups and community groups that are interested in being able to feed into the consultation around better pedestrian infrastructure and around schools and active travel that want to get involved. And, it's open to everybody to engage with.
Okay, is there a hope that there'll be sort of, as part of this, that there'll be talks going around to schools and talking to children from young about the concept of walking and the benefits of it? Will that be part of it later on, hopefully?
Oh, yes, yeah. So there are things happening out there, and I suppose this is kind of a key thing with the conference, is wanting to bring together there's lots of stuff happening, let's bring it all together so that people know what's happening and how can they better link in with it. So when it comes to walking to school, so there's the Active Flag program, which is physical activity within school, and there's a lot of walking promotion done, and there's sets Get Ireland Walking have been working with Active Flag, Active Schools Flag, to create a pack for schools so schools can avail of that. But equally then the Green Schools, Antashka's program, Green Schools has been working around the flags, the active travel to school flags, and they promote walking to and from school. So there's things happening out there, but it's we don't always know about them, so this is a great platform for them to share the wares and show us what's going on.
Okay, so people just have to look up walk21.com, all the information, the conference coming up, and what's the things attached to it. Listen, Dr. Darcy, thank you very much. I'm sorry for keeping you for so long, but your conversation was so interesting. Thank you very much.
No problem. My pleasure. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And that's Dr. Lorraine Darcy there. And just look up walk21.com. And for all the information, our conference is taking part in September from the 19th until the 23rd.
This is Near FM
90.3.